to Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Barbara Jean Lindsay is an internationally acclaimed psychic, spiritual healer, author, and founder of the online mystery school, Esoteric University. As the Cosmic Oracle, she is a conduit to the powers that be to answer your questions about your future self, past lives, current career, love. She shines light into the darkness to illuminate what was, what may be, and beyond. The readings and advice given by Barbara Jean Lindsay are for entertainment purposes only, should not take the place of any medical, legal, or financial advice given to you by a qualified professional, and are not a substitute for medical, legal, or financial advice. If you need a doctor, call a doctor. If you need to be expanded, call the Cosmic Oracle.
Thank you for being on the Cosmic Oracle Show, Daryl. Can you hear me okay? Just like, now I can't see anything, but we'll get it all together. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Cosmic Oracle Show. This is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay. And
thank you for being on the Cosmic Oracle
Show. And it is Friday all day long. Oh my gosh. So thank you for tuning in. And I don't know why we're getting a double feedback, but we are. So let me turn that off there. There we go. So thank you for tuning in, everyone, to the Cosmic Oracle Show. This is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay. It's December, what is today? The 18th, 19th, oh, 18th, 2020, all day long. And thank you for giving generously to keep us on the Cosmic Oracle Show. All you have to do is go to freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips.com, and give $5, $10, whatever you can to keep us on the air. And we thank you in advance for your donation. And we have on us tonight, we are live not only here on on this planet and the cosmos, but we are also coming to you live on Facebook. And I don't know what's going on here, but we're already having a few little technical things where my screen is like totally frozen up, Daryl. So I don't know how you're doing on your end. Oh, you can't hear. Oh, crap. Okay, let's see if we can fix that. Wait a minute. Oh, my God. Okay, why can't we hear you? Okay, let's go.
My screen is like,
now we can hear you? Daryl.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, you can't hear. Oh, crap. Okay, let's see if we can...
See, I don't understand why that is... Can you turn down your Facebook page? If you're on Facebook, could you turn that down on your end, Daryl?
Daryl, I don't know how you're doing on your end.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you could turn down your... turn off if you could turn your
Facebook page
if you're on Facebook, can you turn that down on your end? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Okay, Daryl, if you could turn off your face, if you're on Facebook, could you turn that off or just go off of Facebook? And then we'll be okay. Wait. Okay. I don't know why we're on yours, so.
Okay, Daryl, if you could turn off.
My goodness, this is just wild. Okay, and we had it all worked out. I don't know, Daryl. Let's see. Let me go back here. Might have to start it all over again. Okay, Daryl, could we maybe come off of your screen? You're sharing for a moment. Let's see what that does. Okay, so we got that down just for a moment. And then let's see if this is recording. Oh, I see. Okay. Let me go here. Just a second. Just a minute, guys. Okay, we're back there. So there is everybody. I don't understand. Zoom meeting. Hold on. Don't go anywhere, anybody. We're going to figure this out. This is just like, oh, my God. Okay. Okay, so could we try turning off? If you're on Facebook, if you could mute you on Facebook.
Hold on. Don't go anywhere, anybody.
Were you able to? Daryl, can you hear me at least?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm sorry. This isn't very funny after a minute. But can you turn off your Facebook? Is that possible? It's off, so that's not the problem. So I don't know what the problem is. Okay, let me see here.
Can you hear me at least?
I can hear you.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
But can you turn off your
it's already off.
It's already off. Okay, sorry guys.
It's loopy.
Oh my God. I'm trying not to lose it. Okay. How's that? Is that better? I'm sorry, Revolution Radio. Just hang in there. We're getting this all handled. It didn't happen before. Holy crap.
This is a day of technical glitches. So
okay. This is... Welcome to my world. I'm actually better at this than I used to be. Hey, now it's good. I hope we can see you. We can't see anything now. That is hilarious. Oh, my internet connection is very unstable. Okay, so welcome to the show, everyone. We're going to, there we both are. Let's see what that does on Facebook. I don't know. Oh, my God. So it says we're live there, but
I'm trying not to lose.
Oh my God.
How's that?
Oh, there we are. I think that's both of us. Oh, I don't know at this point. Oh my God. Okay, so let's go back to, let's go out of here. I think we totally, there's Facebook. They can at least see us now, so that's good. Okay, we got that down. Okay. Okay. Hello and welcome to the show. We do have Daryl Stokes. It's starting to work okay, I think. Maybe, I don't know, heck. Oh my God. Okay, let me tell you a little bit about Daryl.
Hello,
I'm
Mr. Rue.
I don't know. Okay, so Daryl, I don't know how to fix it. If anyone is listening and knows how to help us fix the background so it's not a double, Oh my God. Okay. I don't know why it's doing that, Daryl. And I don't know how to fix that. So I think maybe we have a choice. We can go. Oh, did it go away? No. I think, start it over, don't you think? Yeah, we'll start Lightbook. Okay. So, bye. We'll get you right back, though, okay? Okay. All right. End meeting for all. I'm sorry. I have to see what's going on with this, because... I don't know. Okay. All right, so it ended there. Hang in there, Revolution Radio. We're working with Daryl Stokes today. He's an amazing, amazing being. You'll just love him. And we're going to get him on right now. We're going to try this again. So hang in there. This always happens. I don't know why. I know why. I need a producer. That's why. So if anyone listening out there would like to be the producer for the Cosmic Oracle Show and help me out of all this, that would be fantastic. So, and hopefully Daryl doesn't give up on me and decides he'll come back. I have a good feeling about that. So, let's see if we can get him back on here, though. Hang in there, everybody. Oh, my gosh. And I thought we just had it all so together. So, sorry about... Oh, wait. Here we go. Hold on. Admit. Remove. Remove. Okay. Sorry, everybody. Hang in there, Revolution Radio. It'll be worth your while. We're trying to get Daryl back here on Invite. Okay, he's just... Okay. So let's see what happens with that. Hopefully he'll come back on. And in the meantime, I'll tell you his bio. Daryl Stokes is a spiritual, intuitive medium and channel who awakened to his gifts following a near-death experience at age 7. He has a powerful connection to the angelic and elemental realms. He experienced his spiritual awakening in the Red Rocks and vortexes of Sedona, Arizona, where he lives today. Let's see. He is a spiritual photographer that captures orbs of light and light beings from Mount Shasta to a Buddhist monastery. Let's see where we go. Nope. Cancel. Remove, remove. And you know what's going on? There was a problem. I had a another meeting going on for Sunday, and it here we go. Let's see what happens here. Okay, Daryl, shall we try this again?
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's Daryl.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been calling you Daryl.
Daryl a lot.
So maybe that's what happened. So now we get to do it all over, and now Daryl comes, okay? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Well, let's...
Dear, it's perfectly okay. Literally, my friend Tish, I'm supposed to be on her show tomorrow, and she was also experiencing glitches as well, especially with the Facebook stuff today.
Okay.
So literally leading up to your stuff, it's been glitchy all day. So
okay.
It's definitely something going on with whatever technology is. It has nothing to do with that. It's for us just to be able to just see it through and know it's all right.
Yeah. So okay. Cool.
The universe is going to throw you curveballs right now because we just had Saturn going into Aquarius, so it's the energy. It's a bit of a shift, so we're just adjusting with it, but we're all right.
Thank you. Yeah, I think so. So. We could try going on live again to Facebook. We could try it again. Or let's try once more. If not, we can go on Revolution Radio, record it, and put it on Facebook later.
Sounds good.
That sound good? Either way, we're getting an interview done today, Daryl.
Let's do it.
And what's happening is I have a lot of people coming in. I'm doing a class on Sunday, and it was supposed to be for Sunday, but they all think it's happening now, and it's not. And so for all of my friends and students and are called coming in to get into this interview right now, there's been a mistake, and that class is for Sunday, not today. It's for Sunday, okay? So I'll talk to you later. They're all coming in, and I'm removing all of them.
Perfect.
So. Okay. Well, isn't that kind of where we're going? We're going to have to learn how to deal with staying grounded in chaos. So we're teaching by example, okay? We'll go there
That's
with
exactly
it.
Exactly it.
Okay, we're going to go live on Facebook.
Okay.
share to newsfeed. Maybe that was the problem. I think I might just share. Yeah, I'll just share there. Next. We're going to ground and have an out breath.
Yeah.
And Revolution Radio, you guys, you're all there. You know I do this sort of thing. So I always have technical things. So title is Cosmic Oracle Show Interviews. And I can't get out of caps. Interviews. Darrell, am I saying that right?
Yes.
Darrell Stokes. Live. Okay, go live. Setting up. and a one, and a two, and a one, two, three, four. And here we go now. Should be both of us. Uh-huh. It is!
Welcome back.
Okay. So welcome back, everyone. We are live on the Cosmic Oracle Show. This is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay. We have an amazing guest. I'm so excited for you to meet him. I want to tell you a little bit about him first. His name is Darrell Stokes. He's a spiritual intuitive medium and channel who awakened to his gifts following a near-death experience at age 7. We'll be getting into that today. He has a powerful connection to the angelic and elemental realms. He experienced his spiritual awakening in the red rocks and vortexes of Sedona, Arizona, where he lives today. He is a spiritual photographer that captures orbs of light and light beings, like an extraordinary photographer, okay? He really does capture it. That's why he's here today, to talk about that. And light beings from Mount Shasta to a Buddhist monastery in China. He is also an ambassador of goodwill for the Star Nations and Sasquatch. So he offers astrology, angel, oracle, tarot, past life, and intuitive readings. And without further ado, welcome to the Cosmic Oracle Show, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Darrell, what a ride. That was a wild ride.
That has been the energy of not only today, but the past few days, you know, mm-hmm. that we're all these technical glitches and whatnot that are going on. So how we're able to adjust and handle that, you know, and it's a test, mm-hmm. you know, it's like we're going through we're having our final exam, and it's, you know, literally the winter final exam coming up here. So we're just doing the best that we can do, you know, how it's all flowing, and to be able to just see the blessings in it, you know, and know that for every up, you know, up there's a down, and there's always a reason for the ups and downs.
Right.
You know, major healing taking place, so we just allow ourselves to go with the flow of it, you know, and see the humor in it. If you can see the humor in the most chaotic and craziest times, you know, you're a blessed individual, you know. So we're doing our best to be that and share that with others.
Yeah, we talked about that before the show. About these times, like winter solstice is coming up. That's a big deal. And so the energies are like, wah. And I don't know how to put that in words. Maybe you do.
Well, we got all these astrological events happening, you know, that's really taking place. And six eclipses is a lot, You know, that's profound change all the way around. And, you know, this is the first time in a long time we've had six of them. You know, and you want to know how that affects you. Well, you just look at 2020, you know. And we also have Saturn just moved back into Aquarius. We're now entering the age of Aquarius. So literally it's information, the future, technology, people, groups of people, you know, networking, all that's literally, you know, taking place now. And it's how are we able to get along with each other, you know, to make the world a better place than and to, you know, at least compromise, you know, as best we can with that. And we're going through the test because Saturn is all about lessons, you know, that, you know, the great teacher. So we learned our lessons. And the best way to know how to see if you've learned your lessons is literally to be walking through it to see if you, you know, are you able to pass the lessons. And it's like school, you know, some of us really love it. We're into it. You know, we're. And then there were some of us just like, it's not our cup of tea.
Right.
We'd rather be doing something else. And so how are we able to share that and express that, you know, to each other to where we can, where it works, you know, where it works for everybody. Because it's meant to be a win-win, you know, not a win for some and a loss for others. You know, it's meant for everybody's in your life to help you to grow. You know, in whatever manner way, and some people are the support system, and other people are the, you know, the you know, the cast of characters that really trigger you, you know. But that's what allows for the opportunity for the growth and the healing.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, boy, we're going through one heck of a healing right now.
We are. We truly are. We could. I think we just got a big lesson. So.
Technical difficulties, what can you say? And it's I'm walking through it myself, you know. I used to be a techie, and you know, I just kind of backed away from that, and now it looks like we're being called to once again, you know, to embrace technology, you know, to where we're able to communicate with each other. And it's, you know, I'm old-fashioned, you know, like, you know, in person. And boy, when something like the Rona shows up that really changes the dynamics of that, you're called to adapt. You know, and blessing in disguise, if you will, because here it is, we're still able to share the message and get it out to others, you know, and on a larger scale, you know, than just in person. And literally that's, you know, what we're progressing into, you know, being able to share the technology and the information and the knowledge with each other so that we can heal, we can grow. And for those who get it first, they're called to share that and teach it to others. And boy, we're in school right now, you know. And the school of life is the, you know, there are some subjects that you love, you know, some classes that you love, and there are some that you just, that's not my favorite topic.
Didn't I already learn that lesson, right?
You know, you get homework in it, and then it's like, I don't want to do the homework, but if you don't do the homework, you know, how are you going to pass? You know, so we're being called to do the homework, and we're doing the homework in holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in holiday season, which, you know, we're usually when you're around loved ones and around family. And this is a different dynamic for that. So there are those that have been around each other for so long, they're just tired. And then the holidays comes in, it just really amplifies all that. But that's where, you know, it's like a pop quiz. You know, you have the pop quiz because you know that you're going to have the test, you know, literally the next day or so. And the pop quiz shows you what it is that you know and what you don't know. You know, so you're able to study up on that so that way you can at least pass the test. And we're walking. We're in midterms to final exams.
The end of the year, right? The end. What a way to go out at the end of this year, right?
You know, and that is literally it. We are walking into, you know, 2021 with a lot more optimism and hope than before. Because my goodness, you really don't know what you have until it's gone. You know, and this year has really taught us that. You know, be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for the blessings and the trial and tribulations, because that's what's assisting in the growth and the healing. And boy, to be able to help others and uplift others and to have them be able to do that for you. You know, we're all learning how to be able to ask, you know, ask for help and to receive help. You know, and to know that you probably can only get you so far. You know, and uplift others and to have them be able to do that for you. you know, we're all learning how to be able to ask, you know, ask for help.
Hear feedback, that's weird.
You know, and to know that your pride can only get you so far. You know, and it's...
I have no idea, Darrell. Sorry. It was going so well, wasn't it?
I just go with the flow of it. What else can we do?
I mean, like those trials and tribulations, they blindside you. It's like, well, you know, if you see it coming, you can step out of the way.
If you don't see it coming, it's I got you.
Oh my God! I just here we go again.
Like those trials and tribulations, they blindside you. It's like, well, you know, if you see it coming, you can step out of the way. If you don't see it coming, it's I got you.
Here we go. It's double back feed. I have no idea. Okay. Here's my request for 2021. The Cosmic Oracle Show really needs a producer, okay, who knows what he or she is doing so they can help, because my job is a lot of times going out there. So we need someone, and I'm really grounded. I can be really grounded, but I really do need a producer. This isn't working. I am so sorry, Darrell. I just kind of think of the best remedy for this. I'm not sure. So,
laughter is the best remedy.
It is. I can laugh. That's you know, I'm a perfectionist too. I like things done right, you know, and people are here bringing their precious time, and I want to make sure that they get what they're coming for here. And let me. I'm not sure what we want to do here. We can't do it this way. Okay, let's try it this way. Hang in there, everybody. Zoom. It was working beautifully.
It's like the all the technology is being hacked.
I have no idea.
It was working beautifully.
It was working.
All the technology is being hacked.
I have no idea.
I said I would try to behave.
Well, hey, Garrett Duncan said there was chaos again, so it's all his fault. We're going to blame it on Garrett, okay, Darrell? It's all Garrett Duncan's fault.
This is very much a hail cut energy.
We're
going to
blame it on Garrett, okay, Darrell?
This is very much a hail cut energy.
It is. Okay. Oh, is that any better at all? Oh my God.
I know the people of ours said they'd love to have a laugh track on this.
Yeah, we're just going to leave Facebook there. We just have to. Okay. That should do it. Okay. I think we got it. I think we got it. Oh, my God. Holy crap.
this has been the energy of the day.
So,
I've been attempting to get my website up and running since Monday, and my goodness, it has been it's been trying. And so this all just fits right into it, because literally from Monday to Friday, boy, it's been a journey.
Well, it only took us a half hour to get here, okay? So we have time to make up for it. I do want to start with your near-death experience, because that was the catalyst for your spiritual awakening, shall we say? Or could you share that with us? I think we're okay for a while.
Yeah. to bring the energy back down a bit. So my best friend, you know, his name was Bert Brummett, and he was 8, I was 7, and we were racing home from school, and to see who could get home, you know, who could be the fastest. And as we're racing down, we get to the cross, you know, the crosswalk, and the cross guard is there, so we run up just a little bit past her, so that we could literally get a jump. So we were not directly right there at the crosswalk. As she's walking out with the stop sign, you know, for the traffic to stop, this blue Buick comes rolling through, this 1978 blue Buick. The gentleman had blue jean overalls on, and he has an old, look like a farmer's hat, and he had black rim glasses. I'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. And he went rolling right past her, and literally, as she was walking out, we took off running, and we see him rolling right past her, and he hit Bert. He hit Bert right in front of me. I felt like he should have hit us both, you know, because we were literally both, you know, running at the same time, and it felt just like something grabbed and pulled me back. I can't even describe it, but it hit him. The car hit him, and he went up in the air. And the last words out of his mouth was "Mama," you know, and then he hit the ground. And his mom immediately, you know, Shirley came running out of the house, you know, and she went to, you know, to pick him up. And I remember she was laying in the street, and I ran home, but my mother wasn't home. So then I ran to my grandmother's house. Who was always home. She was always home. And she wasn't home for the first time, and I cannot ever tell you when my grandmother was not home for us to get home from school. And so I ended up going to the community center and sitting in the timeout room, which had a giant spider in it, which terrified us, you know, so that we wouldn't be bad. But I didn't know what else to do. You know, I literally, everywhere I went, my mom's house, my grandmother's house, the people that was my shelter were not there. So I just literally went and was in the little timeout room. Later on, I developed a phobia of fear of spiders.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the primary cause of it or not, but that was. And I didn't really have anyone to talk to, you know. And, of course, my cousins and family were there. They witnessed the same thing that I witnessed, but it was, you know, for me, it was a firsthand moment. And for them, it was, too, but it was literally, you know, my best friend who I was just talking to moments, you know, before was gone. And there was no therapy or anything like that. That, you know, I didn't really have anyone to talk to. And for the longest time, I know for several months, I would write Darrell and Bert on my homework to turn in, you know, and the teacher told me to stop doing that. So I didn't really have any way to process that loss. I wouldn't stay with my grandmother for a while, because that's one thing they could figure to do, send me to my grandmother and my dad's mom, and she kept me and watched over me for a bit, and she was literally, she was the foundation, you know, for assisting with my gifts from that. I remember we would, she would always feed me sliced oranges. Sliced oranges. And she would watch Kenneth Copeland. She loved Kenneth Copeland. But she was, I can say to this day, from all that trauma that triggered, my grandmother never laid a hand on me. She never whipped me, ever.
My grandmother never ever put her hands on me, and she was my sanctuary. She was my sanctuary during that time frame. And when my gifts started triggering in, you know, because I started sleepwalking after mm-hmm. that. But I started seeing things. I started mm-hmm. knowing things that would happen before I, you know, not having no understanding of that. And, you know, from a near-death experience, it unlocks, yeah. you know, whatever is blocked. For most people that have that near-death experience, it opens something. You know, your connection to the spirit world is far greater than ever before. And for all the things people say that's not real, that doesn't exist, if you've had a near-death experience, you can absolutely attest to different. You know differently. And it's a matter of if you're open to it, and then you want to understand more about it. And literally, you know, as I'm growing up, I didn't really, that was not something that I was able to research or understand, especially growing up. It was just, you know, you had that experience. And then around your family, you start picking up things, seeing things, or feeling things that you can't explain. And for them, they may not explain it either, but they may not want to deal with it or talk about it. And then you got some that have had the experience and they're open to talk about it. You have some that have the experience and they don't want to talk about it. And then you have some that have never had the experience and they're either open to it or they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, you're usually in one of those groups. And for those that have had that experience, they can attest to something totally different because they know that, you know, there are a lot of things out there in the universe that people said isn't real or doesn't exist, and then it shows itself or reveals itself, mm-hmm. and then what do you do? What are you left with? You're either trying to explain it or figure it out, and some people don't want to explain it and figure it out. They want to make it go away, and there are others that it has a profound experience on them, and that just happened to be the case with me, you know, because literally from 5 years later at 12, you know, I had the lucid dream of my funeral. You know, and it's like, you know, wow, there's a whole lot of people there and my physical body's actually crying. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking, well, when does this happen? And he goes, wow, there's a whole lot of people here. And then I get 38 flash, you know, as an image in my head. And it's like 38. Okay, so I'm going to pass the 38. Oh, wow. You know, so I'm 12. Right. You know, so it's not like I could really talk to a lot of people about having this vision, you know. And ironically, you know, I was diagnosed, you know, manic depressive bipolar because I hear things, feel things, see things, and yet I do hear things, feel things, and see things.
Exactly.
And it's what, you know, for some that are experienced to it, you know, when you become and you're opened up as a channel or a medium, and then you start, loved ones that have passed start showing up.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, wow, there's the granddad or there's uncle or whatnot. There are people that you've never even seen before showing up. And it's like, you know, hey, there's somebody here. And then there's people that either believe you or they don't believe you. Mm-hmm. You know, in my word, when you're seeing it and people don't believe you, what can you do?
Right.
You know, and then there are those that they believe you, but they don't want to, you know, admit that they believe you because they don't want to be judged or labelized, you know, because that's weird. You know, you're the weird one or the one who's always different or the one who stands out. And yet you're the one who's called to share that experience. And they're more like, there are more people like you than not like you, you know. And next thing you know, you start, the soul family starts to emerge. They start to show up. And you come to recognize that a lot of these individuals, not only have they had the same experience as you, some of them have had some a bit more interesting experiences than you. And for those that have the courage to be able to just lovingly speak their truth, because not everybody's mm-hmm. going to be, you know, comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to be comfortable to everybody. You know, if it was comfortable to everybody, then everybody would be talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for those that had this experience, for some it's comfortable, for some it's not comfortable. And I have had both experiences with it, you know, and for me was to be able to better understand it. You know, when you're called to do something, it's one thing when you don't know about it, but it's a whole different story when you become aware of it and you acknowledge that this is what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know, and then it's, you know, do you have the courage and the strength and the fortitude to do it? You know, and my word, I just wanted to know, you know, why was I born to the family I was born to, and you know, in the place I was born from? Because it was like, they don't get me. You know, absolutely just, I hit the black sheep, my word. And it's like, the black sheep is the one that's actually trying to do right. You know, how is that the black sheep?
Right,
you know?
Right.
And what everybody else says is normal is like, that's not normal.
Exactly.
You know, what you're doing, that's not normal. But, you know, your love with family, you know, the most broken, crazy things is normal because that's what they're used to dealing with. And you're the one that says, that doesn't make any sense. And then you're the one who's labeled the nut.
Right, exactly. It's a wild ride. It's a really wild ride.
Yeah, so I'm like, that's fine. I'm the crazy one, you know. And yet, one of the most relatable, you know, because people always said, you know, why in the heck are you always laughing and smiling? I can just call it a blessing, you know, because I've had so much dad burn trauma in my life that, you know, look. You know, most people want to check out, and I can say I was one of them. I attempted to check out, you know, more than once, and that was a failure. So, because they said you're not supposed to go yet,
right?
You know, you're still supposed to be here. So, I'm still here,
and you have a choice. You have a choice, right?
Mm-hmm. I said, look, if I'm going to, you know, be called to remain here, then I, you know, please help me understand why. You know, what am I supposed to do with this, you know, whatever this is, and how am I supposed to use it, you know, and where do I belong with it, you know, you know, because clearly being here, you know, it's, you know, when you have gifts or you start coming into them or understanding them and others don't quite understand it, or they have the same gifts and they don't want to be, you know, have that stuff come up.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, because my word, I started to realize I have a lot of people in my family that have had multiple near-death experiences.
Exactly.
It's like, whoa, there's quite a few of us, you know, and it's like, me, myself, personally, I've had at least six to seven near-death experiences in my lifetime, so I know that there's divine intervention, because literally when I should have been a goner, I wasn't, you know, and then I have loved ones that they have also had near-death experiences and had, there was divine intervention that showed up where they, you know, one was in a horrific car accident, and he remembers someone pulling him over to the side. And when the people showed up to help him, they're like, you know, how'd you get out of this? And he's like, you know, one of you showed up and pulled me aside. Had another cousin that had a tragedy happen to him, and by the grace of God, he was shot multiple times, and it's crazy because I woke up and said something has happened to him. I absolutely knew that something had happened to him. And, you know, to get that phone call from his mom to confirm that something had happened to him was like, that was crazy because I saw it, I felt it, and then it happened. So that, you know, more times than not. So it's like, it's the loved ones that you're connected with. These people may drive you crazy, but they're also instrumental to your healing and your growth and your awakening. And my loved ones, literally, you know, we never had much, but we were able to appreciate what we did have, you know, and it's, you know, it was never about status or anything like that. It was just simply do what you're called to do, and do your best to be helpful to others. Even when others tend to abuse you or misuse you or mistreat you, my family taught me to be able to still love, to love as best you could. I won't say unconditional because, you know, when you've been hurt and traumatized, you know, you tend to carry some scars with you.
Right.
You know, so, you know, people love you the best that they can love you. And that's what I just started to understand. You love in the way that you've been taught, you know, and it's okay to, you know, to relearn, you know how to love, especially when you're able to have forgiveness, you know, because forgiveness is the most, it's crucial and critical to have, you know, because literally, usually a lot of people that hurt you, and they're more likely hurting too, you know, and more like that they're angry, they're, you know, they're hurting. And of course, you tend, misery loves company, so you tend to, you know, want to share that. And my goodness, family, who knows better how to share misery with you than family, you know?
Exactly.
You know, love and misery, and especially during the holidays, because that it always seems to trigger during the holidays mm-hmm. with loved ones and family. There's either loved ones making passing away and making their transition going home. My goodness, either a loved one's passing away on your birthday, on Thanksgiving, Christmas. Or Halloween, or Christmas, or some, you know, these are days that are special days, you know, the whole memories, and then when the loved one passes, it just kind of, you never forget it.
Right, it puts a real damper on it.
You know, and so for me, you know, my dad, you know, he passed and was buried on Halloween. But he passed on the 27th, which was weird because he came to me on the 24th in a dream, mm-hmm. you know, and he showed me, he said, son, I'm tired. And I said, you know, well, I'm able to communicate with you, you know, in this way. So rest, you know, it's okay to rest. And so he showed me three and I'm like, okay, I've got 3 weeks to get back, you know, back there to see you. And he passed 3 days later. So it was not 3 weeks. It was 3 days. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that my dad came to me in a dream and shared with me that he was tired. And, as you know, I knew that I would be able to communicate with him again. And he had said to me, and sure enough, when he passed, I was literally out here in Sedona, and I was walking outside, and I got this... presence came over me, because that morning I woke up and I felt so out of body. I couldn't explain it. You know, it was like, yeah. I just could not feel it. I was not in my body. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, something has happened, but I don't know what has happened. And as I'm walking outside, well, I'll go outside and get some air. And then my phone goes off and I look on Facebook and I see my father's obituary on Facebook.
What?
So I'm seeing my father's obituary on Facebook, like, no phone calls, no nothing. This is what I see. But mind you, my father had already come to me in a dream, you know, three days before, and shared with me that he was tired. And he'd already showed me three. So I'm thinking 3 weeks, but it was 3 days later. So that day that he passed, on October 27th, and I step outside and I get, you know, the text. And I'm having that out-of-body experience that morning, like, I can't seem to be in my body. I'm going to go out and get grounded.
Right.
And then I see the Facebook, you know, his obituary. So I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. So I call my mom, you know, who calls my grandmother, and gets back to me and like, yeah, your dad has passed. So
what a way to find out, though.
He had already. Hey, that isn't that something? You know, that's just how it was. And then it was, you know, to be able to get to make it back to Kentucky for his funeral, and then of course he was buried on Halloween. My word, let me tell you, you will see the true nature of your loved ones, your loved ones and your family, when someone gets sick, becomes ill, or they pass away.
Right.
That's when you're going to see the true nature of your loved ones. And
shocking.
I was prepared for it, because I was literally getting all this in the real time, and then to go there, and I was there, I ended up being back, you know, spending time with my family for 3 months, you know, close to 3 months. That was not the plan. The plan was to go to for my dad's funeral and come back, but that was, you know, I was the oldest.
You were doing your work.
You know, so
you were doing your work.
Doing my work and to follow through on what my dad had asked me to do. And let me tell you, when you're asked to do, when you fulfill last wishes, you know, it's like, you know, like they put this stuff on you, and you want to honor it, you want to do your best to honor it, you know, which was, you know, you know, these are my brothers and these are my sisters. And boy, just to, you know, share, these are my brothers and these are my sisters, it created all kinds of, you know,
learning.
You know, but I had family that was able to connect, because they, you know, they didn't even know, you know, that they were related. So I honored his wishes, and it really made a lot of people upset and really angry. But it's like, look, he asked me to do it. I was blessed to be able to be before he passed. I got to be with him a month before he passed, because I was there holding space for, you know, for my sister, for her loss.
Right.
And, you know, that was in September, and I was able to see my dad during that time frame, and I was able to make him an energy ball, and he could feel the energy, and he was like, I can feel that. And I was able to gift him a piece of snowflake obsidian from Mount Shasta from when I was there, and he could feel the energy of it. And, you know, and I asked to take a picture of him, you know, and he's like, nope, he didn't want to take a picture, because he was like, he wasn't appropriate, you know, to take
right.
a picture.
Right.
And I didn't push it. But, you know, I have no pictures mm-hmm. of us together in our later years. Mm-hmm. So what I come to learn was make the most of the time that you have with your loved ones. Even if you don't always get along, because you never know, you know, mm-hmm. when it's going to happen, when you're not going to see them again. And, boy, if you've left on bad terms, you're going to feel some sort of way.
Right.
And so to be able to, you know, make peace, you know, with everyone that you can, or at least do the best that you can to live, you know, a life where you're not, I don't go out of my way to start anything with anybody, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm just, boy, if you're expecting a letter from me, you know, it's going to be a long day. Me and writing, I know it should be a natural for me, you know, with all the stuff in, you know, the third house, but that is not the case. Writing is, it's a loving challenge for me, yeah. Which, you know, someday that will get done if I actually, you know, I tried the dragon speak, but, you know, the diction, it just wasn't picking up. So I just know, be in the moment. Mm-hmm. Allow yourself do your best in the moment. The past is there to teach you, and if you're able to remember the past, you won't repeat it. If you don't remember the past, you will repeat it. And know that the past offers the best lessons for your learning. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you made a mistake, you know, you're smart enough not to make it again. And if you do, well, you know, what are you? Are you just a glutton for punishment? You know, so I just allow myself to learn in the real time as best I can. I am a flawed individual. I am nowhere near perfect. I do not have all the answers. I just can share from my own personal experiences.
Experience, you know, right. Authentically.
It pertains as family and life. You know, I can share my experiences in the form of advice with that.
Yeah. And with the love part, when I first met you, I didn't know you, and I met you at Sasquatch, the Sasquatch retreat in Washington. And I saw you from a distance. I go, ooh, that guy, he has a big heart. And wait a minute, his smile is just as bigger than your heart. For those that are listening and can't see Darrell, his energetic field is just beautiful, and it radiates all this love and strength and genuine. And if you're not feeling it, you're not feeling it. If you are feeling it, everybody's going to know about it. And so when we get back from our break, thank you for talking and sharing your love with us this first hour and getting through that crazy part. And which we went through the eye of the needle, okay, and we are on the other side, and by having an NDE and by having that experience, it does change you forever. You're able to go in between the worlds much easier, and then you learn how to walk in between in a beautiful way, right, where you're at peace, you find at peace with that.
Yeah.
We have, like, 3 more minutes before the end of our first hour. And so if you'd like to end, you're just full of wisdom and love and energy. And thank you for coming on the show today.
It's an honor. Thank you for having me. And, you know, and it's like when Spirit says, this is what you're called to do. And you're wondering, well, how is that going to happen? You know, I'm open to it. And it says, don't worry, it's already in the works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're like, all right, you know, I'm open to it. And you literally this year, I, you know, what can I say? I am deeply blessed and honored and incredibly humbled to be able to share my story with everyone, because for some it's like it sounds like fiction, and yet, you know, it's all real. It's all happened to me,
and it's uncharted territory. Right? There is no on track. Yeah. You can't be on track or read a book or, you know, it's like you're just in it and you're like doing the best you can do. And it's a wild ride.
Navigating the seas of life, you know, in my words, sometimes there's some rogue waves, you know, and it's like I'm just doing the best that I can to hang on. Mm-hmm. And it's been a wild journey. But while just reflecting back, literally, you know, as, you know, eternal souls having a human experience, you know, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, it feels familiar. You know, it feels like I've been here before. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that I'm around or interacting with was my word. It, you know, they feel familiar too. It's like, excuse me, do I know you? Have we met before? And that just seems to be, that is very much the case. And being here in Sedona, you know, it's like the life before Sedona and life after Sedona is like literally how my life has transformed. And to just be, I'm incredibly grateful because I'm a walking miracle, you know, to be here. I mean, honestly, you know, my blood pressure on average, you know, 186 over 110. And it's up there. Mm-hmm. And it's been like that for 15 years. And I didn't realize that it triggered around the time of my first Saturn return. I didn't know anything about that.
Right.
But my word, blood pressure is healing, working through the anger. You know, right. And it's like, so I'm like, well, my word, how much anger do I have? You know, and it's like just...
Surprise!
You know, to be, you know, so jovial and still... To be, you know, processing that, you know, and Scorpio is, you know, is a walking contradiction in itself because it's ruled by little Pluto, which is ice and cold, and Mars, which is fiery and hot, you know. So it's, you know, that temperament and, you know, the attempting to heal all those wounds, because literally a lot of people are operating at half capacity because a lot of people have broken hearts.
Right,
you know,
and
in order to be at full capacity, the heart needs to be mended.
Right.
You know, so here we are walking through these processes to heal our and mend our broken hearts to be at full capacity once again.
Exactly. Exactly. Thanks for that. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go anywhere, anybody, because we are at love full throttle here today on the Cosmic Oracle Show with Darrell Stokes. We'll be back. We'll be talking about orbs and his amazing orb photography and spirits.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Oscar Fries, that's your cerebral cortex, looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows it's true.
God is filling with adrenaline right now, whether you know it or not. The heart's beating fast. It's getting a little hard. The neurobiological system is telling it to run, but your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
Thank you. join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back to the Cosmic Oracle Show. This is your host, Barbara Jean Lindsay, and thanks for hanging in with us today. And I want to thank you for being so generous and keeping us on the air all these years. This is our sixth year, believe it or not. And so just go ahead and go to freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips.com. And hit that donate button. Get $5, $10, whatever you can. And keep the lights on, keep the computers going, and keep us all grounded around here because we really need it. So thank you in advance for your generosity. And I want to welcome back to the show Darrell Stokes. And it's we have had quite a blast the first hour. And thank you for being so real and honest with your work and your life and what you're doing. And we're going to switch a little bit to what we came here to do. But I think what just happened that first hour was beautiful and people needed to hear that. There will be people transitioning and how to deal with that and how to work with that. We haven't been taught that. We've been taught to just walk around it or act like there's no elephant in the living room. And so you bringing that up is real important for people to work with the heart, because as a person ends into the other side, they drop their skin dressing and they move on to the other side. There's no time or space because love is love forever and ever. So whether they're on the third dimension, the fifth dimension, wherever they are, you can bring them back in and really have that and walk that in your heart.
Yeah, when my dad passed, he came to me again and in a dream, and he said, write out my name. He said, write out my name, write out my full name, and circle the first initial of each, you know, my first name, my middle name, and my last name. I'm like, that's crazy. Okay, I'll do it. So I wrote out his name, Gregory, and I circled G. I wrote out his middle name, Paul, and I circled P, and I wrote out, you know, Stokes, and I circled S, GPS.
Oh, my God.
I will always guide you in the right direction. And he also let me know whenever you hear Earth, Wind, and Fire playing, you know that I'm with you.
Oh.
And so literally whenever I hear September or anything from Earth, Wind, and Fire, that's my confirmation that he's very much with me.
Yeah.
So that was my own personal experience, that my dad came to me before he passed, and then he came back to me after he passed, and he lovingly shared with me, you know, I would have never thought to write out his name and circle,
sure,
you know, the initials, you know, to get GPS, you know, that, who does that, you
mm-hmm.
know, but that's what my dad guided me to do, you know, and of course, you know, his father was a minister, you know, mm-hmm. and he passed, when my dad was 15, he passed a month before I was born, so I never got to meet my grandfather,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that was, and then literally a month after I was born, his house burnt down. So my dad, you know, he had some challenging times, And he was so, and they had me young. My mom and dad had me young, 15 and 17 respectively, so kids having a kid, you know. So I was also, you know, raised a lot by my mom's mom. And Granny's a Gemini, you know, and she's the sweetest little thing you could ever imagine. But I tell you what, she got me together quite a few times because I wasn't really a bad child, but my word, I was mischievous, you know. I just wanted to, you know, to do things. I wasn't too bad, but my word, my grandma, she cracked a whip on me, so I was, you know, yes ma'am and no ma'am, you know. She taught me respect. And to be polite and in manners, mm-hmm. You know, because literally I was raised by her too, so I'm very much old fashioned, okay. You know. And my family, you know, Southern Baptist, you know, so you know, so
we have so many matching stuff, Daryl. It's like you're sitting a mirror in front of me, okay?
You know, and so, and I was even, you know, I was Catholic for a while too, you know.
Right,
That's a whole nother story, but yeah. I went through the initiation process, and apparently, you know, when you make the bishop cry during confession, you
right.
know. The bishop came out and everyone was like, oh my God, what's wrong with the bishop? Are you okay? And he came over and hugged me because he's like,
he could see
you know,
it.
I mean, it's confession. So told him what happened with my life, you know, at that mm-hmm. point. He was like, wow, mm-hmm. you know, you've been through quite a bit.
Right. And you're still here. And you're still smiling.
You know, so, you know, and I was just, you know, never would have thought, you know, but that, you know, my soul was meant to have that experience, you know.
Right.
And there's a clear distinction between religion and spirituality,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's what I really, you know, I love spirituality,
mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, unconditional love. Boy, you know, religion talks about it, but my words, you know, when you're talking about, you know, unconditional love, a lot of them just don't show it.
Right. You walk your talk.
You know, you're up in the pulpit preaching fire and brimstone, and you say, don't do this, and then you're doing the same thing. I see you.
Right.
You know,
right.
So, you know, and then, of course, you know, I'm 10 years old, and I'm asking the pastor, you know, things like, you know, if it was created in 7 days, then please help me understand the dinosaurs, because I just got questions, because they're supposed to have been around for millions of years. So, I mean, you know, and they're like, you're not supposed to ask that. I'm just curious, you know, because I don't understand, you know, because
right.
they've been here for like, so I ask things that just spark stuff, and my life is just, it's a bit different. Even with Christmas, I love Christmas.
I do too.
Absolutely. My mom taught me a very valuable lesson about Christmas.
All right, let's hear it.
Yes, she did. You know, so for anybody out there right now, I'm going to share this with you. This is my own personal experience. Please do not take this for your own experience at all about Santa Claus, okay? Santa is very much real in my eyes. I absolutely love Santa. I just know that my mom, you know, when I was 10 years old, you know, I discovered, you know, some things that I'd asked for in the closet. I'm like, wow, Santa's already delivered the presents. That's awesome. And well in advance of Christmas. Santa's awesome. So I lovingly share this with my aunt. You know, I confide in her. Santa Claus delivered the presents early to my house, you know. And my aunt, who I confide in, goes and lets my mom know that, you know, that Santa has delivered these gifts early. So my mom decides to relocate the gifts.
Oh, man.
So come Christmas morning, that Christmas, particular Christmas morning, we had a huge ice storm. So there was a power outage.
Mm.
So there was no electricity in the house at all. And it's snow and ice everywhere. And under the Christmas tree, where there was no gifts. There was no gifts under the Christmas tree. There was two bundles of switches.
Ooh.
And wrapped in a big red bow that said, Merry Christmas from Santa. I'm 10. So I'd always heard, you know, the tale that, you know, you get switches or whatnot, switches and coal. I got switches for Christmas for Mike when I was 10 years old because I discovered that Santa had delivered the presents early. And because I shared that truthful statement with my aunt, who shared it with my mom, so my mom wanted to teach me a lesson that, that Santa is real. And so as I'm processing this, and I wake my sister up to share with her that this is what we got for Christmas, she's like, yeah, okay, there's no gifts, I'm going back to sleep. And my sister went back to sleep. She's like, what else are we going to do?
Right.
No power, can't watch TV, cartoons, anything. And so, we had to get up and get ready. The grandmother still had power, so we're heading over to our house. And as my mom says, y'all go outside and get in the car. So as I'm acting like I'm doing that, I'm the ninja that I am. I'm just sitting and listening that when we're, say, gone for a long time, when they come back, everything will be there. And,
right.
Santa's awesome. So my cousins were like, you got switches, dude? So literally, I was the first in my entire family, I don't know in the history, to ever get switches for Christmas. And because I discovered the truth. So I told my mom, I love Christmas, but I really love the Grinch, how the Grinch stole Christmas, because it resonates with me on such an epic level, because it happened to me.
Right.
It absolutely happened to me. I got switches at the age of 10, and because I found out the truth, and I shared that. I'm like, you punished me for telling the truth.
Right. What's with that?
So literally, I was sharing this with her just a few days ago. She busted out laughing, because she, my mom's such a giver. And she just wanted, the magic of Christmas,
Right.
And I'm just like, you didn't raise no dummy, mama, So I know, and plus I'm curious too. What kid's not going to go exploring and sneaking at Christmas looking at her closet and stuff? So that was my experience. And, I always share that with my nephews and everybody else that, she did have a picture, but the picture has long since disappeared. but that was,
Did she eventually give you a present, though? Did you eventually get...
After we got back from my grandmother's house, everything was there. And it was like, wow, it's a miracle. Santa didn't forget us. He came back and, I had my Pac-Man game watch. I had to sweat it out for a while. Dad never sent a letter. I barely came back and got him, That's my Christmas experience. That's my Christmas story.
And so you don't take it for granted now, right?
She taught you that. I take absolutely nothing for granted for Christmas or any other holiday. Mm-hmm. I am incredibly grateful by anyone that shows me any type of love or appreciation. Because it takes, what our loved ones go through, for the holidays to, to create magic for us. And some of us are very appreciative and some of us take for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us like, is this it? Where's the rest? Mm-hmm. And for some of us, it's life changing, mm-hmm. When someone mm-hmm. does something for you. So it just, the holidays, just a great appreciation, knowing that if a loved one has passed, honor them, celebrate their memory. And if, a loved one happens to pass during that time frame, I know it's very normal to mourn their passing because
sure,
of physical presence
sure.
and the holidays, it just hits like a hammer.
Right.
But also knowing that just when you're able to remember their love and their laughter and that memory in the heart, it does wonders. And it's done wonders for me.
Right.
Being able to heal through the grief because it's, the love of my my loved ones that I'm still able to feel and remember.
Right.
Man, Darlene, bless her heart, when she passed. But I'll never forget the time that I said she wasn't fast enough to catch me. She said, don't make me come out this chair after you. I said, I'd like to see you try it. And she caught me off guard, and clogs. You don't think people run fast in clogs. But my Darlene cut, and man, she was almost on me. And when I hit the corner, I ran into the air conditioning unit. So it made me slick out. It hit me right in the corner. It parted my hair.
Oh my gosh.
So
I never take for granted how fast someone can move. But that was May and Darlene, and that is the memory that I hold, you know, of her, you know, because she was from Rhode Island, so she had that Rhode Island accent. And you talk funny, Aunt Darlene. Boy, don't make me come after you. Holy moly, I was like, wow. So I got laid out by an air conditioning unit because
That is funny. And so by telling their story, right? By telling the story, that's how you can remember them and endear them and hold them in your heart.
Yeah, because it's when you're processing that healing, it's the love and joy that exists with it. Mm-hmm. Whenever there's pain or sadness, we all have it. It's all real. Everybody processes it differently, and some are able to. Are called to find a way to do it where they can be assistance and help others.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really viewed myself as someone was called to do that. And then I look at my natal chart, and it is all that the sharing messages about healing, and it's like this is nuts, because Scorpios go through a lot of experience, a lot of loss, a lot of trauma, and I'm Scorpio, like a late degree one at that, 27 degrees, so. What comes with that, literally I have October is a challenging month for me, cause I was just really realizing how many of my loved ones have passed. And, one of my dear friends, Buddha, who I went to the Sasquatch conference with passed, after we came back from conference, we stopped in Mount Shasta. We went to the conference, then he got back to Florida, and literally, the hurricane hit, and then he had a stroke and passed. He was 42. And that was October 5th. My Uncle Donnell passed on October 6th. My best friend Bert passed on October 17th. And my dad had passed on October 27th. These are all different years, mind you, but literally, two best friends, an uncle and my father. My son was stillborn, and he was January 30th. Mm-hmm. So I've literally buried a son and a father and two best friends. Mm-hmm. And of course with other loved ones, but that, every passing is different when loss of a child, the loss of a parent, those passings are like nothing other.
Right.
So I I've walked through that, and just it's like, wow, I have four girls, I'm blessed with four girls, but no boys.
Yeah.
And that was, but he's still very much with me, still watching over and assisting me.
Right.
And to think that, sharing messages, who would have thought that would, be what I'm called to do. So when I was called out here to Sedona, and I kept hearing to get a camera, and it's like, I'm not a professional talker. I couldn't begin to tell you half things about what the camera is supposed to do, what it can do, or what it ought to do or needs to do. I just take the photos, and I know that there are plenty of that has an explanation for what it is, and I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Whether if it's lens flare or dust or whatnot, I'm colorblind to begin with, so a lot of the stuff that shows up. My colors all run together. When I took the colorblind test, I even failed the example, and the time, like I said, that's the first time that ever happened, but greens and browns and oranges and reds, all that stuff runs together, for me. So, and everything, depending on the way the light hits it, mm-hmm. it appears different for me. And I just, asked, look, if it's out there, please show yourself to me so that I may know that you're attempting to talk to me or communicate with me, or you're at least wanting to get my attention. And when I came out here to Sedona, I wanted to know what my gifts were. I wanted to understand how to use them and recognize them. And, I had read a book that was very profound for me. It really helped me on such a great level. And the book was called You Are Psychic, and it was written by Pete Sanders Jr., do I have that book right here? Yeah. This book right here.
You Are Psychic. Peter Sanders. Peter A. Yeah. Sanders Jr.
He was such a huge help to me.
and I didn't even recognize, but I've had that book for years, and it just, it read like stereo instructions, you know, because it's, he's an MIT scientist, so, but there were parts that just made sense to me, and other parts were just like, wow, you know, that's over my head. But little did I know that years later I would be, you know, out here in Sedona, and, you know, it was, you know, that connection to Pete that would really, really help me to grow. You know, because I'm sitting there when I was called here, and I'm like, so I would love to meet him and get my book autographed. And there was a lady sitting next to me, and she's like, yeah. I said, she said, you want to know Pete? You want to meet Pete? Yeah, I know Pete. I can introduce you to Pete. And she did. I was introduced to him, and he helped me to understand that my intuition was incredibly strong. Mm-hmm. Between my intuition and just that, it was really, really strong. Mm-hmm. The more that because I was learning to trust it, you know,
right. Literally,
you know, me coming out here was all about me trusting, you know, in my gifts, and boy, being able to trust your intuition is one of the strongest ways to go.
Right. And it gives you confidence. It starts to give you some confidence in yourself. Mm-hmm.
So literally everything, I was out here for 3 weeks in November 2011, and I had something happen to me every single day of those 3 weeks that I cannot explain. Oh. You know, there were things that were happening to me, and mind you, this was leading up to my spiritual awakening at 38, because I was out here at 37. I'm like, well, if it's going to go down, mm-hmm. you know,
bring it.
You know, here it is. And so literally while I was out here, I was, you know, experiencing things that I couldn't explain. I was taking photos of things that when I went back to look at it, there were faces, you know, in the clouds or in the rocks. I had no idea what orbs were, you mm-hmm. know. I had mm-hmm. absolutely no clue about any of that stuff, the Ascended Masters or anything like that. When I told my mom I was going to come out here and follow through with it, because I needed to know one way or the other, because Archangel Uriel had guided me out here, it was all confirmation
yeah.
for me. You know, just like, where is this place? I don't even know where it's at. You hear, turn on the TV.
Yeah.
And then I go to turn on the TV, and then there's, you know, the Ghost Adventures talking about Sedona, Arizona. And it's like, I'll trip out. So that's where it's at. And you type in Sedona, and it feels like home.
Right,
like,
I've right.
never been there, but I feel like I've been there before. Little did I know. And then, of course, all the other things that introduced to, well, mm-hmm. being out here, the mediumship, the Akashic Records, past life, you know, understanding, you know, multidimensional, you know, ley right. lines and all that stuff, ascension, right. that was all brand new to me.
Yeah.
You know, just what I, you know, followed through, you know, young and curious about it, you know, because love astrology, and mm-hmm. I just knew I was a Scorpio. My word, I didn't know there was a rising sign and a moon sign, and there's all these, you know, people, they're multi-layer, you know, they're multi-layers, you know, there are many different layers of a person, and you may know one facet, but then there's so many other facets to them. And then what I come to realize is everybody in your life is like a Shakespearean play,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everybody's there to fulfill their role. You know, and that point, people in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. So some people show up and they help bring those lessons and that understanding. I mean, you may or may not still be friends with the people from grade school, you know,
right.
or junior high or high school or college. And, you know, and there are these people that come in at those various times, whereas family is always there. You know, and,
exactly.
You know, so where you've got those lessons with family, and then there's people that feel like family, you know, that, and you may be closer to them than your real family, you know,
exactly.
soul family. And I just realized that, you know, being out here in Sedona, it's kind of like the starport on, you know, on Tatooine. You know, you got all these different individuals from all over, you know, meeting up here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's just, you know, how I can recognize Sedona. It's a place where, you know, soul family shows up to me to help you to overcome the blocks, the obstacles, and the challenges that you were not able to overcome in the past life. And there are some people that, you know, they bring, you know, you bring the blessing, and some people they bring you blessings, and other people that, you know, you're just blessed to know them, and other people you bless that they call at your life. Everyone is like a giant spider web of life, and everybody's mm-hmm. connected, you know, and one way or another, someone knows someone else that you know, and it's all connected, you know, right. And I'm just literally, I'm bearing witness to this right now, because here I am, you know, I tend to be low key, you know, and it's like, you're not low key anymore, and it's like, are you kidding? And they're like, no, you know, so here I am, you know, taking that leap of faith, and all I can do is lead by example.
Exactly. You
know, and a lot of it's challenging. I mean, you know, and testing the electronics, the technology. I'm still doing the best I can to adapt to it. Nowhere near perfect. My Facebook page is not. I'm still working on that, the website and everything else. You know, and attempting to, you know, to figure out how to do it. And it's, you know, there's, you know,
well, you're a shining light for all of us, Darrell. You really are. And also your work, your orb work, your photography. How many pictures do you think of orbs have you taken?
Thousands,
right?
Thousands. I mean, here in Sedona is one thing. I mean, because it's the vortexes and whatnot. So if you go to Bell Rock or Cathedral Rock or Red Rock Crossing or Boynton Canyon or here in the canyon.
I love Boynton Canyon.
You know, you're going, you're more likely going to experience something like that because of all the, you know, the energy up at the stupa or Thunder Mountain. It's just very, very prevalent. You know, the energy mm-hmm. is always open and on here. So if you come here, you're more likely going to experience something like that, especially if you're open to it or you're with someone who's open to it. But I also experienced that it is very much in my home state of Kentucky. You know, the a lot of limestone and water there in the cave system. So, you know, I take orb photos of Mammoth Cave, you know, and it's like, mm-hmm. And even at Lost River Cave, you know, things showing up. And then, of course, in Mount Shasta, you know, which is also connected on the to Sedona, Orlando, Florida, which, you know, it's like a second home to me. Used to live there. And all these various places, you know, wherever I went, it was there. It's always been there. Even the Buddhist monastery, which, you know, I was very blessed to be allowed to take photos there. You know, that was my first time ever out of the country, you know, at a Buddhist monastery. And it felt as natural as breathing to me. Right. And they actually invited me to become a monk there. you know, but I didn't know how to speak Mandarin, so I didn't know how. They just called me the Laughing Buddha, which was funny. To hear that from the monks themselves, you know, that was a huge.
That's order. Really, truly, truly.
You know, and they said they extended the offer, if you ever want to come back. The monks literally followed me all the way on the bus. You know, they're like, "Do you want to change your mind? We would love to have you."
And you know, they don't do that every day. I think that would be a real rarity, especially.
You know, because the head monk acknowledged that, you know, I was there with my dear friend Edie, and that, you know, and her family, that was mm-hmm. a huge, you know, the blessing in itself. And they said, you know, it's rare. You know, I mean, in fact, I was even allowed to take photos there, and then invited to be there with them. That was incredibly humbling to me, because it's, you know, I've had my fair share of ups and downs. Like I said, I'm not perfect. But those blessed experiences, to be able to allow me to share them with others. And some of the orb photos that showed up there was like nothing that I'd ever experienced. Because literally the monks were chanting. And if you can imagine a room full of monks chanting, and they're hitting the drums, and they're doing all of that. You know, and it's literally, you can feel the energy, and then the power goes out. You know, like boom, the power goes out in the monastery. And the monks are still chanting. And this is during the summer solstice of 2016. And I'm taking the photos.
Wow.
And there's all this orb showing up. And it's like, you know, I'm trying to, showing them. And, you know, as it's being interpreted, you can feel the energy. you know, in that place, any place like, you know, the monastery, you can feel the energy. Mount Shasta, you can feel the energy. Oh, yeah. Sedona, you can feel the energy. Yeah. So to be able to feel the energy in Bowling Green, well, the lines on the water, I'm like, that makes sense. It's everywhere you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just allow myself to document things that I was feeling at that time. And, you know, my sense of feeling along with my intuition, intuitive feeling, if you will. You know, you feel something and you're like over and you take the picture. So there are times when I get the goosebumps or that tingly sensation. And that's how you know, because you know when you get those goosebumps, pay attention to that.
Exactly.
So when you're getting that, and then you're getting like cold chills or you're like, come on. So, you know, people want to know, how do you know? You can feel the temperature shift, or you get that gut feeling, or you get that tingly sensation on your head or whatnot. And the more you ask, the more
it gets stronger.
Mm-hmm. And now it's like, I've been here since 2011, you know, so I've been asking for quite some time till it came to a point where, like, how many signs, you know, do you need to ask, how many signs does it take for you to get the message? And so for me, it's like, it's literally taken thousands, you know, because I've taken thousands of pictures. And look, some of it you could, you know, you could explain it that this is what it is and fine, that's what it is, you know, in your view. And others, it's just, I'll take a picture of a face in a rock because it looks like a face to me in the rock. And if somebody else sees the face, they see the face.
Yeah.
Take a picture of a cloud and there's a face, you know, face in the cloud. You know, I'm asking for signs and messages because this, you know, show me that if this is what I'm seeing, because I've already been diagnosed manic depressive bipolar, or you know, seeing things and hearing things. You know, and then of course when you have the physical or the evidence, you know, evidence speaks for itself. I mean, out of thousands of photos, sure, there's plenty that you can say, well, this is this or this is that. I've never seen dust particles with that different, you know, the different color hues. Hell, I'm colorblind. I can tell you anyway where it's blue or purple or gold or red. You know, it's you know, that's what I see.
Do you want to try and share some of those? Should we try it or not? What do you think?
We give it a go. Well, if it's meant to be,
okay. So, if not, we'll just, we'll laugh through it and go on to the next thing, right?
All right, so I'll click on this.
Okay, share screen. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
That should do it.
Okay. All right. So now this is, you know, the angels, fairies, and orbs, E.T. It's just an album or a compilation of various things that I had taken photos of. Start with this one. You know, this is a photo of a well-known artist here in Sedona, and she was, you know, doing a portrait, and you can see that the energy was literally right on her shoulder, you know, right there, you know,
and
moving.
Don't see it, so.
You don't see it?
Mm-mm.
Let's see where we're at here.
Oh, wait, here we go. I don't think that's it.
No. Oh, I gotta do that.
Okay. Yay! There we go.
Working with technology is,
gosh.
You know, so, you know, she's, you know, channeling as she's drawing, as she's painting, and you can literally see the orb, you know, moving.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I took the picture and that, you know, and that's what appeared.
That's cool.
You know, this is, oh, wow, look at that.
that's beautiful.
This is at Red Rock Crossing. Which is right there by Cathedral Rock, and a dragonfly flew by me, and I was picking up Archangel Michael's energy, and it flew over like I was supposed to take a picture over towards the trees. So I took a picture in the trees, and when I did, that's what I saw, you know, in the camera. You know, physically, I didn't see anything here, but, you know, I took the pictures, and it's like, you know, when it's zoomed in, you can actually see the little figures and whatnot.
They look very fairy looking with the purple and the violet fire and they're like rainbow over it almost. Mm-hmm. Like it's their own little ship or something.
You know, so that was, you know, okay, the elemental realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, that face, you know, the faces that Bell Rock, you know,
right.
And I kept feeling like I was being watched, and I take the picture, and you can see there's, you know, there's a nose and there's a mouth, and over here there's another, you know, there's an eye, a nose, and a mouth.
Right.
And it's like, well, no one carved that out, you know, but it's there at Bell Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, so there are faces in Bell Rock. Right. how do you explain that? And, you know, it's an orb photo. So this is...
One is like a brilliant. It's like a shower of thousands of orbs.
You know, it's
where is
Mount
that,
Shasta.
Daryl? Mount Shasta? Daryl, sorry.
it's Sand Flats, you know. Wow. That's Bunny Flats, Sand Flats, Panther Meadows. And we were at Sand Flats, and it's a really, you know, it's a big old field. And... you could just, you know, and it was pitch black out there. I mean, there's no lights out there. Shasta's just a mountain. But you could just feel the energy of it,
yeah.
You know, and you
amazing.
Know, it was all, you know, it was all around. And this was still, you know, this was 2012. You know, I had never really, it was my first time ever at Shasta.
Mm.
And, you know, that was the first place I experienced a loss of time at. When I had the vision of the cabin on the mountain, and we found it at Horseshoe Camp, and I was with seven other people, and you know, I told them I was going to go get my water bottle, fill up my water bottle, and come back. And when I returned back, they were gone. All seven people were gone. So I was like, you know, where'd everybody go? I did not realize that David Politis, the missing 411, the point of separation. You know, mm-hmm. And it's like the national parks, you know, people go disappearing.
Right, exactly.
And I went missing for several hours, and they didn't even realize I was gone, you know. So that was my first experience with loss of time. This was also another one of those beings that appeared at Shasta, you know, and it's like, I had no idea what the heck that was. I just took the picture, and it was over there, you know, and it appeared along with all the orbs. So it was like, I just know that it's, people tend to have experiences there.
Right.
And, you know, and.
Wow.
You know, we had an experience.
Right.
You know, there and really couldn't explain, I couldn't explain it. I just know that everything that I was hearing that was being said to me, you know, you're going to be walking back by yourself. No, I'm not. And I ended up walking back by myself.
Huh.
You're going to be alone at night holding the light. I said, no, I'm not. And my friend's like, look, I got to go back to the camp to get the water, keep the fire going. So I'm literally in the middle of the woods in Shasta keeping the fire going. So this is another one of those.
That is so spectacular.
There
really?
Was no stars out. You know, there was no stars out. It was literally pitch black out there. And so I was just taking the photos because that's just what I was called to do. And this was how it was showing up,
wow.
You know. So, you know, that was my, you know.
Just gorgeous.
You know,
absolutely
gorgeous. Those experiences where it starts to come through. And literally, like I said, this is out in the middle of field, out at Sand Flats. But it's, you know, it's Shasta. And. You know, I'd never been there, and then I had the dream about it, and then I'm invited there, like, a few days later, like, what are the odds of that? And then we camped down on the mountain for 12 days straight, you know, and we had experiences like, you know, we just, I can't explain it.
Mount Shasta's like that. I've been going for 30 years. It's an amazing.
You know,
everyone should
see,
go
like,
to...
the rainbow lights and stuff there. Right. So it was just...
Everyone should go to Mount Shasta, right, Darrell?
It's an initiation, if you will. If you're called to Mount Shasta like you're called to Sedona, answer the call, something profoundly is more likely going to happen to you and for you being there. And I wasn't aware of any of the stuff. I was brand new to all of it, so I didn't know about the Sasquatch connection, the UFO connection, the Starbeam connection. I didn't know any of that. I was brand new to Shasta, and my work, my experiences now looking back of all the photos, I had some things happen, you know, that I couldn't quite explain. And even to this day, it's like, okay, that's uniquely different.
Gorgeous.
And then you look at it and it's such a pristine and amazing and beautiful place, you it know, is. And I mean, water, natural water springs and everything coming up. And it was, it changed my life profoundly, just like Sedona. Mm-hmm. And when you get called to those places, it does something to you.
Yeah.
And
to let go.
You know, and it just like, you know, for me, like I said, I was a techie back then. You know, I was all, you know, into my, you know, PlayStation and whatnot. And that was all brand new. So to be out in nature, it was like a total reboot, you know. Mm-hmm. So literally, Mount Shasta was just like a whole new experience. And then, of course, you know, that more likely Lynn Flair or whatnot. But for me, it was like, I can explain that, the rainbow color orb, because it appeared in my back, you know, in the backyard in Sedona, and then it appeared up in Shasta from the research.
A rainbow orb. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. You know, which Archangel, you know, Raziel, you know, so the Archangel of Past Lives and Akashic Records.
Wow.
And, you know, ironically, I ended up, you know, learning Akashic Records. And these are, you know, the same beings, you know, interacting. And this was just me, you know, asking, you know, for those, you know, signs. Mm-hmm. And it's showing up. You know, the unfamiliar. I'd never seen that before, so I didn't quite know what, you know, what to make of it. And, you know, these were all my own personal experiences. This, you know, the mist, the moon is like I heard.
Oh, the smoke in that one.
Yeah, you know, I heard, come outside, there's something for you. And so, you know, go outside, one, and it starts to morph, you know, and, you know, and here's the angel, you know. There's
Look at that. Oh, my gosh.
You know, there's her face.
Right.
You know, so,
just as clear, you know, as
and
can
there
be.
Were the orbs.
Right.
You know, yeah. Archangel Haniel, Archangel of the Moon, I didn't know who that was, you know, and then, of course, I asked to know more about the Archangels, and the book fell off the shelf and hit me in the shoulder, you know, the light shall set you free, and there was, you know, information about the Archangels. So
do you feel like you're an angel, Darrell?
Some people may say, you know, the yay or nay to that. We're all angels to each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, attempting to be kind to strangers, mm-hmm. you know, for you never know when an angel is in the mist.
Mm-hmm.
I just attempt to share, you know, joy, mm-hmm. And positivity to those that I can. You know, my life has had, you know, plenty of ups and downs in it,
mm-hmm.
But I just... You know, if the photos can uplift and inspire and bring joy to people, like, you know, here with a
wow.
ship,
Look
you
at
know,
that.
Hanging out in the background.
And oh, my goodness. Wow.
It's Sedona, so, you know, it's not uncommon for right. things like that to, you right. know, to show up.
The Ponte, maybe.
You know, orbs in flight, you know, in motion. We're literally driving and, you know, roll down the window, stick the camera out and take a picture. And, you know, that's what appears. And you're like, we're being followed by an orb. That's crazy. You know, and it's like, it looked like a comet.
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous.
You know, this is up at the airport, you know, up at the Mesa Grill. And went out because the jet had literally landed. Went out to take a picture of the jet. And then, you know, what else shows up? All the orbs taking off, too. So the plane is landing and the orbs are taking off.
Huh.
That's
interesting.
You know, and they do what they do. You know, that's out at the Bell Rock, you know. You know,
have you seen one in third dimension at all?
You know, I want to say in third dimension, let me see here. There's one that I took in my friend's backyard. And it is probably one of the most, I call it the Archangel Michael orb. You know, because it was, it really got my attention. And it was pretty much by itself.
Wow.
I want to say that it's down here at the bottom. And it's, you know, literally, you know, it's, you know, it's a little bit of everything.
Wow,
you know, the light language in the sky or whatnot from ships. Here we go.
That one is just gorgeous.
Here it is, you know, without it being propped up. And my friend, her backyard, she said she believes there was a portal in her backyard. So I'm like, well, let's check it out. And sure enough, you know, her backyard was super active.
Mm.
And, her backyard was very, very active. And you can see this orb, you know, here that it was massive.
It was just,
you know, hanging out. And so when I cropped it, it looked like, oh, don't tell me I went the wrong way.
Oh, that's gorgeous. But for those that are listening, it's this beautiful purpley, blue, violet, like pulsating. You can feel a lot of energy in it with a kind of a gold rim around it as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this was in her backyard. And this was literally, you know, and you could see it. So as far as you could see the sacred geometry in it.
Yes, there is. You know, there really is.
So that showed me that there was, you know, these, I wanted to be able to understand them more. So, you know, some of the books that I was introduced to, one of the books that really helped me was Ascension Through Orbs, by Diane Cooper. And a lot of people that had taken the pictures and sent them in, you know, for a book. And what I realized was a lot of the same beings that were appearing in their photos were appearing in mine too, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and she, for her, she had channeled it or whatnot, you know, this book right here, it helped me a great deal because, you know, I'm not the first one that's experienced, you know, something like this.
Is there a history of it, Darrell? Like forever kind of thing? Or do you know much of the history of it briefly?
The orbs, you know, they're beings of conscious energy.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, loved ones that have crossed over can appear as orbs. Appears orbs, elementals can appear as orbs, Sasquatch can appear as orbs, star beings can appear as orbs. They all interact and work together, at least from my understanding, from my own personal experiences. A lot of these beings, because they all tend to show up together, like this one, there was like some type of elemental along with orbs there,
right?
You know, showing up. So it's, they communicate and they're all beings of light. You know, so it's like we're beings of light. You know,
right.
we're made up of stars.
Right.
You know, we're physical, but my word, the same thing is going on. And why are we shocked and surprised that our ancestors, they had the same connection? My word, you know, you look at all the architecture and all the experiences of the ancient civilizations, and you know darn well that they were not doing that by themselves.
Right.
You know, they had help. With that, and then even with our ancestors, you know, the shamans and whatnot, they commune with the spirit world, that are able to bring healing and insight and understanding. You know, those that were selected to do that and called to do that. Here's one where, you know, it's like, you know, the different imagery, you know,
of
what they're doing. Like I'd never seen anything like that before.
No, it looks amazing.
I didn't know orbs could do that.
I didn't
either. You know, so
incredible. And it's like our ancestors, our ancestors had that relationship with nature, and they were out with this sort of thing. We're just starting to get that back again. We've lost that connection, and this orb.
Yeah, you know, because the. You know, as those that had that connection, it was almost like they others came in and wanted to wipe it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't talk about this, you can't share this, you can't learn about this or teach this. And so a lot of that information has been covered up or lost or not, you know, and not disclosed. But for those who are curious, you know, or had a near-death experience and they want to know why are they seeing things, they're hearing things now that they were not doing before the near-death experience, you know, they would like a little explanation of that. And, you know, I was no different because I didn't really understand a lot of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that I was showing, my goodness, people out here in Sedona are, you know, oh, that's an orc. You know, what's an orc?
Right, right.
You know,
And you find your peace with it so that others can find their peace with it, right? You take the fear out of it. You know, take that out of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and this is at that monastery, and this is the, you know, the altar that, you know, people would, you know, come and leave stuff on. And literally you could just see that, you know, all the energy that was around it. And then, of course, you know, here, you know, behind this door, the monks are chanting. You know, but literally you can see, you know, that
thousands
of orcs. A lot of energy.
Yes.
You know, and it's, you know, and this is while the monks are doing that. And these little stools right here, you know, everybody would have to bow and kneel. And so it's forever etched in my mind, by Senpai, which is bow three times. You know, my knees are swollen like grapefruits. but they allowed me to take part in all of that. And then this photo.
Oh my gosh. If you could, you know, see this, literally, there's like drenched. There's like not an inch between an orb. It's just raining orbs of light.
You know, the power went out, and the monks kept chanting. And so literally that was like, wow, you know, you hear the loud boom, you know, the power goes off. The monks are still doing their thing. They're still beating the drums. And I took the photo.
That one is spectacular. Absolutely extraordinary, Daryl. It really is.
So these were, and here is the room where the monks were at. But this was literally you could feel the energy.
Yeah. You can feel it from the photo. You can feel it from the photo. You really can.
You know, and it was literally, everyone was, you know, having taken breaks and whatnot, but the monks kept doing their thing. You know, and then, of course, this is where the ancestors, you know, this is on the inside, and this is where they hold all the sacred ceremonies for ancestors, and they allowed me to participate, you know, so I was offering blessings up for all my friends, family, and loved ones, you know, that I knew and had yet to meet. Little did I know, you know, but it was such a profound experience, so even on the inside where the monks were at, you know, this energy was very present. Mm-hmm. And that was just, you know, that was incredibly, you know, healing, for me,
right.
To experience
it's beautiful, that. Really beautiful.
Yeah. These, this is in my friend's backyard in Miami, you know, Jack and Donna Katzowitz, and they have a peace pole back there, and there's literally an orb hanging out, you know, right above their peace pole.
And it looks like something in it. That one.
You know, and it was, you know, such an incredible healing experience for me, because after my father passed, mm-hmm. they invited me down, you know, and really helped me to heal. You know, because that was, I didn't really know what else or how to address or deal with that at that time frame. And while I was also down there, this showed up.
That is incredible.
And
what is that, Darrell?
No idea. I was out there with Donna, and we were at the botanical gardens, and I felt this, you know, to take a picture over
there. That one is just brilliant. I mean, it just unearthly for sure, you know, and very sacred geometry as well, you know.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like
I haven't either. That is incredible. That's like a headdress for an Egyptian, you know, you see almost. It's really interesting. Wow.
You know, the orbs inside, you know, this literally, you know, this is, you know, my buddy Riley, he's since passed, but you can see that there was an orb right
next
beside
to him. Yeah.
And then there's a really, really big one right above it. Wow. You know, so animals and children, orbs show up very naturally around them.
That's
true. A lot of people they want to be able to see them and take a picture of
your child
or your child.
That's good.
And more likely something will show itself around them, you know, watching over them.
Well, thank you so much. We only have like a couple minutes left now of the show, and but that one is spectacular—the green with the pink. What the heck is that?
So, you know, this was, you know, whenever this shows up, and this showed up in a very, you know, in a couple of different ways. I call it all the archangels because it's got, like, all the colors of the rainbow.
Wow.
But whenever it shows up to me, that's when I usually know, you know, that something pretty profound is going to happen. It doesn't show up all the time. And, well, it could be Liz Clark. I don't know. But I've just never seen anything, you know.
It is amazing. Just amazing. You know,
to look like that. And so it's, you know, the various things.
Oh, that is just spectacular. Gorgeous. You know, just gorgeous.
And you know, this showed up when, you know.
That's one of my favorite colors. Wow.
You know, so, the light beams, the orbs.
Right. They just all of that. Show up, you it's know, like how, a cathedral.
This picture right here. I was asking for a sign from my grandmother who had passed, and she had passed on July 5th of 2014. And you know, July 5th is my friend Edie's birthday, and so loved ones tend to pass on your friends or loved ones' birthdays. But you know, on July 11th at my sister's house, you know, I was asking for a sign, Granny, if you're still with us, please show us a sign. And my nephews were right behind me when I took the camera in. And when it flashed, they saw it. They said they actually saw it
at the same time
materialize.
Wow! And thank you, thanks, Darrell. Thank you. We have 1 minute, so everyone can see Darrell's work on Facebook, Darrell Stokes. Private message him, share your photos with him. There's lots of stories to come. He's just getting started. He's going to be on the scene for a while. I think we're not going to let him go anywhere. Thank you for coming on the show today, Darrell. I really, really, it was
an honor.
Really, truly, truly an honor. And we will, the Cosmic Oracle Show will be closed next week for Christmas. We won't be here. And we won't be here for New Year's. We'll be off for 2 weeks vacation. And then we'll be back on, I think it's January 8th, for the first time in the new year, with Michael Lee Hill. And I know, Darrell, you know Michael. So, all right, goodbye, everybody. Love you. See you in the next year. Have the best happy holiday. Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Listening to Revolution.